This is Here and Now. As the defense prepares to rest its case in the trial of Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman for the killing of Trayvon Martin, we want to look at how the trial is reverberating in the black community. In Sanford, Florida, barber Sean Wood says he and his customers have been watching the trial closely on TV. We spoke to him today from the shop, and he said he's had his 18-year-old son in mind as he's watched the trial.
You know, it's a young kid that really wasn't bothering anybody, just going through a neighborhood, and he got killed. And a lot of people, I believe, feel like that could have been their kid, you know, because I can see my kid walking through that neighborhood, coming from the store, not bothering a soul, and end up dead for no reason.
That's Sean Wood in Sanford, Florida. Well, we're joined now from New York by Rich Benjamin. He is the author of Searching for Whitetopia. And Rich, do you see parallels between this trial and, say, the O.J. trial back in 1994?
Very much so. And the reason I say that is because here we have two criminal trials that are taking place against a racially heated atmosphere. In the case of O.J. Simpson, we had just had the earthquake in the L.A. area. There were accusations of looting. It was a racially charged atmosphere because of several ballot initiatives that had gone through the California system. And here we see the same thing again. We're in a racially charged atmosphere to the extent that VRA, the Voting Rights Act, has been voted down. We just had the Paula Deen affair. Affirmative action is front and center on many people's mind. So on the one hand, a lot of black people I'm talking to are concerned that on the one hand, people want a race-neutral law, they want a quote-unquote colorblind society, but all the while reality, particularly this trial, is telling us that that's not how things actually exist.
But many people would say we're in a very different place than we were in the early 90s. I mean, we've got an African-American president.
Yes, we've made a lot of progress that we should be proud of since the early 90s, but at the same time, for example, here in New York, we have a stop and frisk policy that allows the police to racially profile me. I should mention I am black, even though I work as hard as any other white citizen of New York City. And so while we've made progress, we have a lot of laws, stand your ground, stop and frisk, that codify George Zimmerman's behavior. And by the way, if he's acquitted, the devastating effect is that feels like a green light to every vigilante justice idiot who feels like they have the right to chase down black youth. And so the undifference, the similarity, is that the law is supporting a lot of this racist treatment.
How much do you think that this case is about race versus, let's say, gun laws and self-protection laws, et cetera?
It's about both, and I'm glad you asked that. This isn't simply a racial issue. This is about privatization. This is about how, in the absence of effective policing in some parts, in the absence of many public institutions, we've privatized our criminal justice system, from private police forces to private vigilante groups to private prisons. And this is about a form of paranoid gun culture that exists in this country independent of race. So I very much agree with the premise that it's about poor gun laws, it's about the gun lobby industry writing our laws. And by the way, youth in this country have to feel safe. Did the kids in Newton feel safe? Did Trayvon Martin feel safe? It's not just that black kids are victimized by poor gun laws. The lack of safety for both types of youth, whether they be innocent white kids in Connecticut or innocent brown kids in Florida, is just horrific and terrifying.
So if you saw two people watching this trial, and, you know, it's on CNN all over at airports and supermarkets and wherever there are televisions, if you see two people, one's white and one's black, how are they viewing it differently?
I believe black people are viewing this differently, knowing that often the law is predisposed against them. For example, after their altercation, a dead 17-year-old's corpse was checked and tested for drugs, whereas the live adult's body was not checked for drugs. How is that possible? That's an example of the black person in the airport lounge is watching CNN differently, knowing just one minor fact like that. knowing about stop and frisk, knowing about stand your gun law, whereas many white people, well-intentioned, good-minded white people, will be watching the trial, quote-unquote, at face value and saying, oh, he was acquitted, and therefore the law was served. But, you know, people are looking at the law differently.
We remember that right after Trayvon Martin's death, there were big protests in Sanford and across the country. I remember driving through a neighborhood, a black neighborhood of Los Angeles, and there were big memorials for Trayvon Martin up there. What do you expect after the verdict comes down on this trial?
Well, I hope that we have proper thought, proper reflection, proper debate about our laws. I hope we pressure our lawmakers. I don't have any expectations one way or the other. I'm focusing on my hopes.
Well, Rich Benjamin, how important do you think that this trial is for race relations in the United States in 2013?
I think the trial is very important because we're approaching a society where white people's, and not the too distant future, will be a minority. And in order for such a society to actually work, everyone has to be invested and everyone has to be trusting of the law, that the law serves us equally. Now, if George Zimmerman is acquitted, that is a negative impact for race relations because black people think that the law is not applied equally. I am horrified to imagine a situation where in my community there's an altercation. A dead minor is on the scene, his corpse is tested for drugs, the live adult is not tested for drugs. And so I think the trial will be important for race relations, and I hope that whatever the outcome, we make the best of it as a lesson.
Do you think that things would have been different if George Zimmerman were black?
Yes, I think it would be radically different. I think the law would have reacted differently, more effectively in the critical moments after the altercation. And frankly, of course there's black on black crime, which is another Here and Now episode, but I've never heard of a black adult chasing down a black minor despite the police's warning, getting into an altercation and killing the minor, and then saying, oh, well, he was a suspicious suspect. That doesn't happen, because when you see Trayvon Martin, when I see Trayvon Martin, I see my cousin, I see my nephew, I see my neighbor. I don't see a suspicious person.
Rich Benjamin is author of Searching for Whitetopia. Rich, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
And if you've got thoughts on this, the conversation continues at hereandnow.org. We're also on Twitter at Here and Now. I'm at Jeremy Hobson. Robin is at Here and Now. Robin.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the DeMore McKim School of Business at Northeastern University. Experiential learning, entrepreneurship, industry collaboration. DeMore-McKim.northeastern.edu. And Bicon, providing the Bicon Dental Implant System, a comprehensive short dental implant solution since 1985. Details at Bicon.com.